The first day that the Holy Spirit came, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Today's Bible verses come from a book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. This is a story of a missionary, named Thomas. In 1866, in the month of August, a ship, from America, called Sherman, appeared at the shore of Daedong River in Pyongyang. On that ship, there was a missionary called Thomas. Thomas is the first missionary who shed blood, and was martyred to death in the history of Christianity in Korea. He got sent to do mission work at the age of 24 and firstly landed in China. There were a lot of difficult situations. But a new road got introduced, known as Chosen Mission, so-called as Korean Mission. He arrived in the small island near Bikri Wando. He passed on about 200 Bibles to the people that lived there. He shared the gospel. Seeds got sown from that time, and now Bikri Wando has a really high Christian population. 90% of people there are Christians. And when he got to the shoreline of Daedong River in Korea by ship called Sherman, there was an army that tried to protect the borders of Korea. The army had a collision with the people on the ship. When the ship Sherman got wrecked on the shoreline, there was a person who threw the books out towards the land with all his energy. That was missionary Thomas. He hugged the last Bible left, and threw himself into the water, and soon after that, he was captured. Thomas was sentenced to death, and the executor who was responsible for execution of Thomas was Chun Kwon Park. When Chun Kwon Park got the knife out, and was about to hit his neck with that knife, suddenly Thomas took out the Bible from him and gave it to Chun Kwon Park. And Thomas got his two hands together, and prayed for the very last time. God, please do not make the seeds that we have sown be meaningless. The prayers that Thomas said did not get ignored. Among the people who got the Bible from Thomas, Chun Kwon Park, who cut the neck of missionary Thomas, later became the elder of the Pyongyang church. And there was a person called Young Sik Park. He ripped and then made the wall coverings with the pages from the Bible of his house. His place became the worshiping place of the church called Naldari. Although missionary Thomas could not even land on the land of Korea, and was killed at the young age of 27, the seeds that he had sown did not turn out to be meaningless. These became roots of Korean evangelism of these days. This is not a mere coincidence. This was what the Holy Spirit worked on, and this working of the Holy Spirit continued on. 100 years ago, we had lost our country. That was a period when we did not have hope. We had lost hope and things were depressed. In a moment like this, there was a wind of Holy Spirit at this historical moment. In 1979, Jangdaehyun Church in Pyongyang had a revival conference for a whole week. The missionaries got up suddenly and confessed their sins. "I confess, God, that I assumed Koreans were inferior to us, because I thought our people were superior to them. Pastors, let us say and confess that we could not look after the given sheep." People of the church confessed of their wrongdoing that they had committed and cried out. Some people confessed that they had a second wife and committed a robbery. They confessed their sins in detail and asked God for forgiveness. Whole church was moved by the Holy Spirit and they began to have the holy movement activities. At that moment, church elder Sunju Kim got up suddenly and called himself as a Can, who robbed the things that people gave to gods. He openly confessed his sins. He said that he had a friend who was dying. This friend asked him to keep some money on behalf of him for a while, but he took some for himself. He repented his sins. This confession became a starting point and countless people stayed up all night and confessed their sins. This confession movement moved from near Pyongyang to countryside towns. Because of this revival movement, the morality of the Christians and the spiritual growth reached to the higher level. This was the Pyongyang Grand Revival Movement that happened 100 years ago. This was very similar to the Acts of Mark in the Bible. Korean churches celebrated 100 years of Christian history in Korea. We should not just imitate tearing of the clothes, and we should not only be interested in events. But we need to long for the history of Holy Spirit to work on our lives again. We need to go back to the basics. Today's words show us that the Holy Spirit worked firstly on Pentecost. Through the Holy Spirit, the early church was born. Therefore, the center of the church is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the essence of the church. In the early church, the Holy Spirit ruled over the minds and the actions. Not with their intentions, but they spoke according to what the Spirit wants them to say, and everything was relied on the center of the Holy Spirit. That was the Holy Spirit working for the first time on the Pentecost. In the society we live now, morality, ethics, and conscience do not function very well. Spiritually, everything needs to be remedied, not even one thing is without defect. The winds of the Holy Spirit that were present at the early church need to be blown again, and new change needs to happen. When the Holy Spirit came for the first time, there were three changes. Firstly, they experienced the presence of God. Let's read verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The power of faith was the presence of the Holy Spirit. The disciples made decisions well, made confessions well. But they got into tests easily and fell down easily. Disciples like them got completely transformed after they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Their desires changed, and their wants changed from physical wants to spiritual wants. What they fought against also changed too. From a battle against people to a battle against the Satans, and their goals in lives also changed. Self-centered lives changed to God-centered lives. What is most important in Christian life? Praying, worshiping in worship services, and being involved in a mission work are all important. However, there's a thing that we must all have. That's doing things with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Presence of the Holy Spirit is having the Holy Spirit at work for us and with the anointing of the oil. What more important thing is there than this? A prayer without the presence of God is like the echo that hits the air without anyone listening to it. And the worship service that does not have the presence of God is like a sacrifice that Cain offered, but it was a sacrifice that God did not accept. The amazing works at the Pentecost had anointing of the oil, worship service, prayer, praise and worship, and the small group meetings all had the presence of God. When we experience the presence of God, we do not live our lives with our own intentions. Always we ask questions to God first. There is a famous best-selling book of all times, titled, What Would Jesus Do? When we change our owner of our lives, from ourselves to God, in whatever we do, we ask God first. What would Jesus do if he was on this road? Would Jesus say these things? What would Jesus do in these kinds of situations? We ask God first, because Jesus is the center of everything. That is way to be directed by the Holy Spirit. Firstly, worship service needs to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to long to have worship service that has presence of God, that gets received and accepted by God, that has the anointing of the oil. When we have a worship service at home or in a small cell group, we need to experience the presence of God. Secondly, we need to long for the presence of God when we sing praise songs. The songs should be chosen and sung which invite the Holy Spirit to come into the place and allows the Holy Spirit to work within that praise time. When the choir or the worship team sing, they need to sing the worship songs that longs for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, when we pray, we need to long for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Have a look at the prayer of Hannah. When she prayed in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the lip moved only, and when the chief priest Eli saw this, he thought that she was drunk. God answered these prayers. Look at the people that God chose to work through them. God was present within them. In the 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on." Then Samuel returned to Ramah. We see that when God was appointing David as the king, he anointed David with the oil and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. The Spirit of the Lord is the presence of God. Dear brothers and sisters, let's long for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's go into the place of sanctuary of God, a place of holy worship, and long to have a deep spiritual relationship with God. I pray that presence of the Holy Spirit, like the quick and strong wind blowing of Pentecost, also would be experienced by you all. Also, when the Holy Spirit came for the first time, the holy sharing began. Let's read verse 3 together then. What looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. What looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Appearing and settling on each of them does not mean splitting and getting destroyed. It has a meaning of sharing, dividing into parts and spreading to each other. So, it means sharing the holy grace. If our lives were secular and worldly so far, after we experience the grace of Holy Spirit, our lives then should become the lives that share the grace of God. To share grace, we need to distinguish what is holy and what is not holy. Have a look at the beginning of the creation. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, "And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness." God firstly created light. And he divided light and darkness. Dividing light and darkness means distinguishing the two differently. Darkness and light cannot coexist together. Therefore, when the grace exists, the light differentiates darkness. That is the kind of life that is highly regarded by God, different from others, because the life is holy, and kept purely from all other things. The life gets distinguished by the features, the things of God and the things of the world. The life gets distinguished by the features, the physical things and the spiritual things. In the Old Testament, when they were offering the sacrifice to God, they cut up a slaughtered animal into several parts. When we ate the meat of the animal, he told us to differentiate it between the foul and the holy ones. All of these show that he wants us to live a life that differentiated from others, a holy life. Right on the day that the Holy Spirit came for the first time, the things of the secular, worldly desires were distinguished and the grace of God, that was set aside purely for them, were shared together. Therefore, a life filled with Holy Spirit is sharing the holy grace with the people of God, that has been differentiated from the worldly things. The people of faith are different from others. These people are Nazarites. The people should be living differently from others, so they can share the grace of God. In the 2 Corinthians, it says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. What is the thing of the past? That is the old life that we used to live before we believed in Jesus. That is life with the greedy, physical and worldly desires. When we possess these things, we cannot share the new things. We need to put down what we possess, which are of the world. Among the Indian tribes, there is a tribe that uses the pot to catch monkeys. They place the pots that has narrow opening on the path that is frequently traveled by monkeys and put bananas in them. Monkeys come and see that there are bananas, and put their hands in the pot to grab the bananas. But the opening of the pot is narrow, so when monkeys have something in their hands, hands cannot be taken out of the pots. Monkeys do not want to put the bananas down and try to flee. But they cannot run away and eventually get caught by the Indians. Is this monkey grabbing the bananas, or bananas grabbing the monkeys? If we see this in the viewpoint of monkeys, they might think that they are grabbing the bananas. But in the viewpoint of Indians that caught the monkeys, bananas grabbed the monkeys. That's right. If we did not let go of the things of the past, like monkeys, we cannot get out of the things of the world. We need to release the palms that grabbed the things of the world in the past. We need to put these things down. Let them go. On the day that the Holy Spirit came for the first time, the people experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They let go of the worldly things, opened the hands and shared the holy things together. When we try to grab the things of this world, and also say that we will serve God, we cannot possess these two altogether. People of faith are people that are differentiated. In minds, thoughts, actions, we need to live differently from others so God can pour blessings upon us. And we need to share the grace that is distinguished. Time as well, on the day of God, offer this day as God's. Monetary materials as well, if these are God's, and then put them aside, differentiate them from others, and offer it to God as sacrifice. That is a life of a person that has received grace. On the day that the Holy Spirit came for the first time, thirdly, only the Holy Spirit enabled everything to happen. Let's see verse 4. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Firstly, people acted as the Holy Spirit led them to. The early church that was filled of the Holy Spirit, people did not live according to their own thoughts and their own way. In their words and actions, everything was led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 2, it says, until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. The risen Lord gave his apostles the instructions through the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 6, verse 10, it says, none of them could stand against the wisdom and the Spirit with which Stephen spoke. When Stephen was speaking, he spoke with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 4, it says, so Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went down to the seaport of Seleucia. Then sailed for the island of Cyprus. When Antioch Church was sending missionaries, they sent out by the Holy Spirit. In today's Bible passages, in verse 4, it says, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. They followed with what the Spirit led them to speak. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, do ye desire to live a holy life? Do ye desire to win a victory in the world? Then long for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Do ye desire to be a witness of the gospel that has ability? Do ye desire to live a life that bears good fruit? You need to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That is what the early church looked like, and it was a work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So let's ask the Holy Spirit for help. Everything will be possible if the Holy Spirit helps us. I've been running this race, a race considered as glove ministry, for the past 33 years. If you look at it from outside, it looks like everything is done by the gloves. But actually, in fact, everything has been done by hands in the gloves. Also, serving in ministry as well, if the Holy Spirit does not help the ministry, then nothing can be done. For that reason, I confess that everything has been done by the grace of God. For all of you, I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit becomes your owner of your lives, your enabler. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything, and will remind you of everything I have told you. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Revival needs to be allowed and enabled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to open the pathway of our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit at first happened when people were gathered together and prayed together. So let us long for the presence of the Holy Spirit, and kneel down to pray. The Holy Spirit works for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.